Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Would you turn with me in the back of your hymnal to number 840. This we're going to read for our call to worship this morning, number 840. It's a short passage, but we will read it responsively. If you'd join with me reading on the dark, bold text. Number 840, Things Seen and Unseen. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's our practice here in the Midland Seventh Adventist Church to ask those who have a special request that they want to bring before the Lord to come forward and kneel in the front with us. And there'll be a time during the prayer where you can silently bring your request to the Lord. For the rest of us, we can kneel where we are and come forward, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege is ours to be in your presence this morning. And we look forward to the day when we can speak with you face to face. We ask that you would look down upon us this morning and have mercy and forgive us of our mistakes and our sins of this week, Lord, and cleanse us. That our ears might be open to being touched and hurt and hear your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. We thank you so much for Jesus and his sacrifice that makes it possible for us to be forgiven and for us to be cleansed and made right before you. There are many people here this morning that have burdens, Lord, and many people that aren't here. We think of those in our congregation who are sick. Those are those in our congregation and friends and family members. We like to specifically remember Larry Card as he's dealing with his cancer issue. We think of Gail Mallory. We've been praying and we continue to pray for the Rickles' daughter, Carol. And I'd like to lift up Aiden this morning to you as well as he's healing from a fractured arm. Some of our other cares and concerns, Lord, are a permanent pastor for our congregation. That's something we've been praying for months now, and we just ask that you would continue the process that you've begun from when we first started praying, and that you would bring us a man that's right for Midland, that'll lead us and lead us in a direction that we can reach more souls for the kingdom. We lift up our ministry placement committee this morning and the work that they're doing. We know that they can go through the motions and fill a ballot with names, but they need your Holy Spirit to lead them to the people that you've chosen for leadership. And we just ask that you would be with them and be with those who are being considered for leadership. I'd like to pray for our speaker this morning too, Lord, and ask that you would anoint his lips, that you'd speak through him, and that the message he would share with us would be encouraging and challenging and hopeful. I'd like to pause now and give an opportunity for those who've come forward to lift their silent requests to you at this time. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Has anybody ever been to Africa? Have you guys, any of you been to Africa before? Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, anybody been to Africa? Nobody? I don't see any hands. This is, oh, we got one. A couple of them, okay. This story is about a little boy by the name of Billy. Any Billys in here? No Billys either. Wow, I'm striking out. What did we get going? Billy, his mom and dad were missionaries to Africa. And his dad was actually the teacher at the school where they went to go see the mission. And while they were getting moved in and everything, they decided to have a great big welcoming party, and they invited everybody from the local area to come to their house so they could get to know them better. And Billy was really excited. Do you want to know why? Because he was going to be able to meet lots of kids his age so that he could become friends with them and tell them about Jesus. Well, before the party began, they were getting the house ready and things, and you know what? Billy went up to his mom and said, "Mom, you know what would be really good to serve at the party tonight?" And she says, "Billy, you don't want a carob chocolate cake, do you?" And she said, and he said, "Yeah, that's what I'd like, Mom. Can I help you make a carob chocolate cake? Have we got enough time?" And she looked at the clock on the wall and looked at her watch, and she says, "I think that we do." You know, one of the best things about when Mom makes a cake or when Dad makes a cake is that when all the stuff gets into all of the containers and gets stuck in the oven, you know, to bake and some of the other things, you get to lick the what? Get to lick the bowl, don't you? That's the best part of it. And then when it comes out, you get to put the frosting on it. What do you get to do after the frosting's on it? You get to lick the bowl for that. So, man, you're blessed once, twice, and then you get to eat it after it cools off. Well, after it came out of the oven, it cooled down, and they made the frosting, and they stuck it on there. And then Mom looked at Billy like this. "Billy, you keep your hands off of that carob chocolate cake." "Oh, Mom, I will." And she says, "Well, just in case." And she took the cake, and she went over, placed it on the table, and she opened up some cupboard doors. And she put the cake in the cupboard, and she closed the cupboard doors. Now she says, "Billy, I've got to go over to Mrs. Johnson's. Now you stay away from that cake." Carob chocolate cake, that was his favorite. And he went over and he looked out the door. And he went and got a chair. And he put the chair there. And he got up on top of the chair and he opened it up. It smelled so good. And he was just about ready to put his finger in there to take a little bit of the icing off, and he heard the front door open. Mom was back. He quick shut the door, put the chair back, and did it. Mom came in, and Billy's face was just completely red, just redder than an apple. "Billy, you weren't up in the cupboard where the cake was." "I'm sorry, Mom. It's just, oh, I'm sorry." And she says, "Well, let's talk about it." So they talked about it, they prayed about it, and they asked for forgiveness, and things went on. Well, that night, the kids came with their parents, and Billy made all kinds of friends. And a little bit later in the night, Mom says, "Billy, come on." And they went into the kitchen to get the what? The cake. And so Billy's mom went up, and she opened up the doors, and the cake was gone. And she looked up there, she says, "Billy!" "Uh-uh, Mom. I learned my lesson. It wasn't me. I don't know what happened." She says, "Go get your dad." So he ran out with the group with the party, and Dad came back in and looked and said, "Uh-oh. Looks like we've got mice." "Well, it must be a lot of mice to eat a cake like that, huh? Wow." And Billy says, "Well, what are we going to do?" "Well, just going to tell people what happened, and you know, and they're not going to have any carob chocolate cake." Well, after the party was over, Billy's dad went up and looked a lot more up there in the cupboard and looked around. And he says, "Honey, do we have any mouse traps?" And she went over and she took a look, and sure enough, she had a mouse trap. In fact, she had a whole bunch of them. This was what one of them looked like. You ever see a mouse trap before? You know, you set it, you got to be real careful with it because, you know, you catch your finger in it. You know, that kind of hurt. And so they set them. And what did they put on them? Do you guys know? peanut butter. Very good. They put it on there. They put it up there real careful. They put another one up there and another one up there. Next morning, Billy got up from get ready for school. What do you think the first thing he did was? Yeah, he ran over. He got a chair. He stood up on the chair. He looked in the cupboard. The mice must have ate enough so they weren't hungry for peanut butter with a carob chocolate cake, huh? No mice in there. Wow. So he went off to school. He came home. What do you think the first thing he was when he came home? What did he do? Went and looked in the cupboard. No mice. They were eating dinner that night around the table. And on this table was a big round table. And it had this white tablecloth that went all the way to the floor. And they're talking about different things that happened during the day. And all of a sudden, Dad dropped his fork. And he reached down like that to pick it up, and he went, uh-oh. He picked up the fork, and he said, everybody stand up. So they stood up, and Dad took the table, and he pulled it back. And there was a great big hole underneath the table. He said, we haven't got mice. We've got rats. And Billy says, well, how big are rats? They're a lot bigger than mice, Billy. Well, will those mouse traps catch the rats? Well, they may snap them, but they're not going to catch them. Well, what do we get? Next day, Dad comes home from school, and he had a rat trap. They're a lot bigger, aren't they? Isn't that big? In fact, look at the size difference between the mouse trap and the rat trap. Now, with this one, listen to this one. Well, if you got your finger in that would hurt. These are made to kill rats. What do you think they put on it? Peanut butter. Rats like peanut butter, too. So they put peanut butter on it, and Billy's dad stuck it underneath the table, and he says, everybody remember that it's underneath the table by that hole. Well, the next day, Billy come home from school with his mom. They come in the door, and they heard a noise. They're looking around. Billy says, Mom, it's coming from underneath the table. Billy says, we've got a rat. Billy's mom said, wait a minute. She goes over. She looks underneath there, jumps back. Billy keeps hearing the noise. Mom, what is it? I want you to go out in the shed right now. Listen to Mom. And I want you to get a shovel. And I want you to bring it in the house. Mom, why do we need a shovel? Billy, do what I said. Hurry up. He ran out the door into the shed, got the shovel, and he came back in and handed it to his mom. Kept hearing the noise. Mom, what are we going to do? She says, I want you to walk around the table. Do you remember how Dad pulled the table back the other night when we found the hole? I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, you pull the table back like that, okay? Mom, what's going on? I kept hearing the noise. Billy walked around the table. Mom says, one, two, three. He pulled the table back real quick, and there was a black mamba snake that had the rat trap caught on its tail, and it couldn't get back down in the hole. As soon as Billy pulled that back, that black mamba snake almost got to his mom, and his mom took the shovel and cut its head off. Whew. Boy, Billy's heart was going ka-thump, 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 ka-thump. He looked at Mom, and Mom's heart was going ka-thump. He could see it going ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. Would that scare you? It'd scare me. Mom, I can't believe it. And they got home that night. When Dad got home that night, he found out what happened. They showed him the snake, the hole, and what they did, they covered up the hole and nailed something over it so nothing could get in anymore. And as they were eating dinner, Billy's dad said, Billy, can you think of anything from the Bible that we could use this story for? Billy thought for a minute, and he says, I don't know, Dad. And he says, do you remember what kind of an animal tempted Eve at the tree? It was a snake. And who was that snake? Who did it represent? Do you know? Satan. In other parts of the Bible, it says he's going around like a roaring lion looking to who he may devour. But you want to know what it says in Psalms? God tells us that he's going to send his angel to protect us and watch over us. Isn't that a good thing? Because does Satan want to protect us and watch over us? No. He wants to be just like that snake. But God has sent his angels to protect us and watch over us. Let's pray, you guys. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for these young people. I just ask right now, Father, that you anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that you fill them up and help them to stand for the right because it is the right and leave the consequences to you. Bless their parents and their grandparents. Help them to raise them up in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Thanks, you guys.
Our scripture reading today is Revelation 12:11. Please turn there with me. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not live their lives so much as to shrink from death.
I always like telling that children's story. That it's funny. You can sit and look at the kids, and they're watching that rat trap, but I can sit and watch the adults, and they're watching that rat trap sound there, too. It's a lot of fun to tell that story. You know, God is good, isn't he? Don't you like that text that Aiden read there? And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the... Did you see that? It's 1 plus 1 equals 2. Did you see that? It's not, they just didn't overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It says, and the what? Word of their testimony. Amen? Now, you guys need to talk to me here. I don't like being lonely in this church when I'm up there. And I notice that a lot of people aren't sitting in the front row, so I'm going to come down and see you guys once in a while. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto the death. That's a powerful verse. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the word of their testimony. Why is your testimony so powerful? Because only you have it. It's your story about how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. John chapter 17 and verse number 3 says, and this is life eternal. In the New King James, it says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, why is that so important? When you get into Hosea, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge, absorbing that knowledge, applying that knowledge into our life, and falling in love with Jesus is what this Christian life is all about. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for your love, and we have the evidence of that love in your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, was crucified, and then he was resurrected for proof, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you love us with an everlasting love and you'll never leave us nor forsake us, even for a morning. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, now, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, I could share my testimony with you today, but I thought it would be interesting to do something a little bit different. I thought it would be interesting to tell the testimony of an organization. You guys follow me? And the way that God has worked through this organization and the different things that God has done to establish this organization in these last days, to share a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior. Is that okay with you guys? Amen? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. This story starts out in Decatur, Illinois. Does anybody know where Decatur, Illinois is? Decatur, Illinois is probably about 2 or 3 hours south of Chicago, kind of in the center of the state. And when you come in, you drive into the city, the first thing you're going to smell, Anthony, is soybeans cooking. This is one of the biggest soybean regions in the world. When you go to Illinois, you're going to see cornfield and soybean field, and a cornfield and a soybean field, and a cornfield and a soybean field. It's unbelievable. And Decatur is one of the biggest processing facilities in the world for corn and soybeans. If you look on the label for most anything, you're going to find a corn product and a soybean product. And it's amazing the things that you'll find that'll have those two substances in them. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for what? For nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There was a gentleman by the name of David Bolduc. He was in his mid-40s. He had a wife, 3 children. He worked at a community college down there in Decatur. He was the tech supervisor at the college. And he was one of the elders to the Decatur Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he had always been just astounded by HMS Richards Sr. HMS Richards Sr. founded what? Anybody know? Voice of Prophecy. 1929. Anybody ever hear HMS Richards Sr. speak? Wow, praise the Lord. 1929. You know, it's the second longest radio program ever in the world. David had always been astounded. He'd been praying to God if he could, he'd like to start a radio station there in Decatur, Illinois. And you guys know, if I'm not mistaken, in talking to some of you at camp meeting that stopped by our booth, that starting a radio station isn't as easy as what a lot of people think it is. And David was praying. All of a sudden, he got word from 3ABN that the FCC, which is the National Licensing Organization for Radio Stations, were going to make different areas available around the country where there were no radio stations at, and they were going to put them up for application. Well, the day came, and David looked in the computer. Nothing for Decatur, nothing for anything around Decatur. Just on a whim, his mother and father-in-law lived in Tustin, Michigan. Tustin is about 12 miles south of Cadillac. Clicked it in there. There was an area open in Cadillac. And David called his mother and father-in-law up and explained the situation to him. And they were all excited about it. And he said, well, what do we have to do? Well, you have to become a nonprofit corporation. You need to get a board. You need to get money raised so that you can apply for the application. Before you apply for the application, you have to have an engineering study. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things that are going on. Figured they had to raise about $10,000 to start out with. About a week later, we'd raised the money, made the application. Now, that may not sound really unusual, but I want to tell you something. Same thing happened in Sheboygan, Anthony, here about a year ago. Same exact thing in Sheboygan. And we had even thought about possibly putting an application in to, you know, for that area up there. We decided not to. There were 36 entities that applied for that application. After you apply and there's a whole bunch of entities, there can be all kinds of problems with it. This one went up for bids. You know what the last bid was before they awarded it? $360,000. David said, well, this could happen in Cadillac too, something similar to that. Well, the day came. Nobody had put an application in but us. And we were just praising God for his goodness, his mercy. It was just unbelievable that so many other people were having so many problems, and here there was only one applicant, and it was us. Well, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 65, and let's look at verse number 24. Isaiah 65 and verse 24. Well, all of a sudden you've got an application for a radio station. They actually call it a construction permit. Just like if you are going to build a house, you have to go get a construction permit. You have to give a plan. They okay the plan, and they give you a construction permit to build it. Well, the FCC allows you 36 months after you receive the permit to build the radio station and be on the air, or you lose the permit. Is everybody with me with that? Now, we started doing some figuring, and we figured that we're going to need about $100,000, or thereabouts, give or take, to be able to build this radio station. And Cadillac Church is about the size of your church. We have about 200 and some members, and about 100 of them or so show up every week. Is that about right, Anthony? Pretty close? A little smaller, okay. Well, we started praying again and more, and started including more people with it. Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it came to pass, it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will do what?" We're praying. I mean, a lot of farmers, people that work in factories, other things like that, are the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Cadillac. And everybody was more than willing to give, but $100,000, wow. That seems like a lot. There was a man that had a dream. And he dreamed, he and his wife had just retired, and all of their monies for their retirement were put into stocks and bonds. And in the dream, God told this man that he needed to get out of the stock market because it was going to go down drastically. This was like 2007, 2008, right in there. And he was going to lose a lot of the money that he had put away. Now, what did that verse say? Before they call. He got up the next day, and I don't know about you, but if you had a dream like that, was that really God? You guys follow me? Like, what? So he started talking to his wife. Honey, what are you going to do? Let's pray. So they prayed. And they were very impressed to call the gentleman that dealt with their portfolio, called them up, said, "We want everything out of the stock market. Put it in something else, but we want everything out of the stock market." He says, "But you're going to lose." And he said, "I don't care. I want it out of the stock market." 3 days later, the stock market fell 30%. I don't hear any amens. Was God good? Did he answer? That man was so elated. He had heard about the radio station in Cadillac and what was going on, and he gave us a check for $100,000. Amen? No. Amen? I was just astounded. Lord, that's unbelievable. Does that even happen nowadays? I mean, God answers prayers like that? I was like, wow, I like that. And gifts and pledges kept coming in. And you know, on December 22nd, 2009 at 5 p.m., we switched the switch on. And the three angels' messages began to be preached to over 125,000 people in the greater Cadillac area. But now what? We got no employees. We got nobody to run the radio station. We got nothing. We hadn't even thought of that. We had gotten the money and built it so quickly. Now what do we do? Well, we started looking around, and David was still living in Illinois. There were some of us that had worked in radio a little bit as announcers and other things, but nobody that could run our station. And we prayerfully asked David if he would consider moving from a job that he had been on for over 20 years in the cozy little town of Decatur, where he lived with his wife and three kids and was an elder at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to come on up to Cadillac, almost like the dream that when Paul saw the man from Macedonia, come on over. We need you. David and Bethany prayed about it, and they came. Became our station manager. Before they call, I will answer. We didn't know how to run a radio station. We didn't know nothing. But God did. And he knew the needs that needed to be met. And we kept praying. Now what? I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Kept praying. They ended up hiring me for on-air personalities and marketing and development and other things like that. And David and I, in our prayers every day, we just kind of thought that we would end up in Cadillac and, you know, we'd be there until the Lord came. Got a phone call. Guy on the other end introduces himself and he says, would you guys like to buy a radio station? What? What do you mean buy a radio? Yeah, we've got a radio station we'd like to sell. I'll always kick the tires on whatever somebody tells me, you know. You go kick tires on it, see what's up. It's a 50,000-watt radio station. I mean, that's a blowtorch. That's huge. Well, where is it? It's up in the eastern UP, and it'll reach into Sioux, Ontario, Canada. That really got my interest. You want to know why? Because our Canadian brothers and sisters can't preach the message like we can preach the message down here. They get thrown in jail. Do you guys know that?
No.
They get thrown in jail. Wow. The entire eastern UP in Sioux, Ontario, Canada. And it comes with a tower, all of the equipment, and everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of going, boy, Anthony, how much is this going to be? Whoo, man. How much do you want? I mean, we checked on towers. It's a 385-foot tower. How much does it cost to build a 385-foot tower? Over $100,000. I don't know. We didn't have $100,000 when we got started either, but God provided that because he owns all the gold and the silver and the cattle on a thousand hills. I like a God that doesn't count his cattle. He counts the hills that the cattle are on. Did you ever see that? Amen? I like that. Well, how much do you want for it? $400,000. Okay. Talked about it a little more. Went up and talked to them about it. Talked them down to $150,000. We didn't have any money. They said, oh, yeah, we'd give us this and stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, boy, if you guys only knew what was going on. I sit there. And then let's read that in 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack, what? Concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. Our slogan for Strong Tower Radio is, where God's character is proclaimed. Want to know why? When you look at Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. The goodness of God. Once again, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Started talking to the folks. It was just unbelievable. All of a sudden, the guy calls up out of nowhere, didn't know him, said he had heard about the project. How'd you hear about the project? He says, my wife and I were praying. And these people were actually from Canada. He says, my wife and I were praying. We had just got some dividends that were coming due. And we wanted to do something with the money because we believe that the Lord is coming soon. And audibly, he said, in my mind, I heard the word radio. And he said, I started asking people about different things. Nobody knew of anything that was going on. All of a sudden, I heard about a radio station in Cadillac that was thinking about buying a radio station in the eastern UP in Ontario, Canada. Called us up. wrote us a check for $25,000. A week later, he got another call. Folks, I don't know how God does it. I'm glad he's the one that does it, too. I'm telling you. Whew. We just kept praying. Gentleman calls up. He says, I'd like to come in and see your radio station. Way up north, up above us. Comes in, looks around. It ain't much to see. Got a small studio there. I mean, we go hand to mouth with everything. We got some folk that are on our board that own businesses, and they say, how can you do that? And I said, because God owns all the gold and silver in the cattle on a thousand hills. I can't walk by sight. I have to walk by what? I have to walk by faith. That's not easy a lot of times. I don't know about you guys. That's tough sometimes. You know, one time, I've got a little son. I've got 9 grandkids. My little grandkid, his name is Jagger. Boy likes coming over to our house. We live out, we've got kind of a hobby farm up there in McBain. He comes over and we try to have something special for him when he comes over. And I said, Jagger, I says, there's a present upstairs in Grandma and Grandpa's bedroom in the closet. So what does he do? He goes upstairs and he looks for the present, doesn't he? But here's the question. I'm trying to make a point here. Why does he go upstairs in our bedroom and look at the look in the closet for the present? Because I said so? It's because he knows me and I'm not going to lie to him. Amen? Well, let me ask you a question. Can God lie?
No.
Did you know that there's 3,563 promises at least in the scriptures? And if God doesn't lie, that tells me that we have a pretty awesome God that's ready and willing to be there, to answer our prayers. Well, push comes to shove. 3 weeks ago, we flipped on the switch to a 50,000-watt station up in the eastern UP in Sioux, Ontario, Canada. Ask me how much money we had in the account when we switched it on. And the other thing about it is, folks, you have to pay for the electricity. You know how much the electricity bill is for a 50,000-watt radio station? $2,500 a month. I don't know where it's coming from. All I know is God said, go. You follow me? My God shall supply all your what? According to his riches and glory, what?
Christ.
Christ Jesus. Is that a promise? Does God lie?
No.
Okay. I'm at the station and I'm doing my afternoon music program. Phone call. Answer it. This lady is just in absolute tears and is completely lost it on the other end of the line. Wow. I've been in those situations before, and I know the best thing is just to don't say anything. Just let it play itself out. But I'm praying. Lord, I don't know what's going on. You do. Help me to help this lady the way that you want me to help her. Finally, after a while, she says, George, she says, I want you to know how much of a blessing it was to hear that song. Well, I mean, I'm playing songs one right after the other, after the other, after the other. I don't know which one she's talking about. And she says, it's that song called Somebody's Praying by Ricky Skaggs. And I'm thinking a minute, and it goes like this. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. And it goes on. And then she lost it again. When she finally gathered herself, she says, the devil has just been beating myself and my family to pieces lately. I'm hanging on by my fingertips. But when I heard that song, I remembered what the Bible says. That Jesus Christ is right next to the throne of God in heaven, intercessing for me. Right this second. And it gave me hope. I know a God that will never leave me nor forsake me even for a moment. And I was like, Lord, how many people would think the music would have, the music, everything that goes on there. I got another Anthony. This was unbelievable. Our pastor calls up. He says, George, you're not going to believe it. And I mean, I'm like, well, just, you know, you can't wait to hear some of the things. He says, I just got a phone call. And I says, okay. No. He says, the first thing they asked me, are you the pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Well, yeah, my name's Christian Martin. The other person on the other side, how do my family and I get baptized? Huh? How do my family and I get baptized? And I says, well, what'd you tell them? He says, I didn't know what to say. He said, my pastor, it's hard to catch him without something to say. He's good at saying stuff. And he said, well, who am I speaking to? And he told him, and he says, well, why do you want to get baptized? We've been listening to Strong Tower Radio since we moved into city about the last 6 months. We believe in the Sabbath, the state of the dead, the second coming, hellfire, the sanctuary service, all of these things like that. And we want to get baptized. And I'm saying, Lord, you cast your word upon the what? Water. And it shall not return unto me what? Void. What does water stand for in prophecy? People. And I'm going, Lord. He says, but George, you're not going to believe it. I just got another call and they asked the same question and it's a whole different set of people. And I'm like, Lord, this is what we got this going for. Yeah, George, he says, and we're going to get lots more going. And I'm kind of going, what do you got in mind, Lord? You ever have a powwow with God? Norman, you ever do that? Sit there and kind of talk to him. And I'm like, man, I'm getting kind of old here. I don't know about this. Get a phone call. Anthony, I love when the phone rings. Got a phone call. And this lady, she says, I want to speak to somebody about Strong Tower Radio. And I was almost going to hand it over to David. I was going to say, David, you got a phone call. Just by the tone of her voice. And I misjudged it. And she says, is this George Corliss? I said, yes, it is. Oh, she says, my husband and I, we found your radio station. We have it on when the alarm goes off in the morning, and we shut it off when we go to bed at night. And I said, well, praise the Lord. She says, and we've been in the ministry for 60 years in the Baptist church. And I said, really? And she says, my husband and I would like to come in and see you guys. So we set an appointment up. Came in, two beautiful saints in their 80s, coming in, smiles on their faces. And they sat there and told us of how much of a blessing that Strong Tower Radio had been to them. They said, you want to know something you guys are doing that the other churches aren't doing? You guys are preaching it the way that it used to be preached 50, 60, 70 years ago. Nobody does that anymore. And I'm going, Lord. And this Baptist pastor, his name is Jim, he says, I still preach every week. And he says, I use a lot of the things that I learned from Strong Tower Radio. And I'm like, I'd like to be a mouse in that church and listen to them sermons. That'd be great stuff. A couple days go by and another phone call. And I'm like, uh-oh. It's the Baptist pastor from the Cadillac Church. 600 members strong. I'd like to come in and see you. I knew him. His name is Mac. Just a great guy. But Anthony, he's very physically imposing. He's about 6'9", goes about 330 pounds. When I saw him, in my mind, I'm thinking, Big John, Big Bad John. That's just kind of went through my mind. I'm like, wow. I mean, he had a shadow that just made the light just disappear. He was a big guy. He shook my hand, and my hand disappeared. I was like, well, He puts his britches on in the morning just like I do. I mean, what's he going to say? He starts crying. And I don't know what to say. He starts crying. He's got tears coming down his cheeks. He says, "Been listening to your radio station." And he loses it a little more. And then he says, "I want you to know that I don't agree with everything that the Adventists preach. But," he says, "I've learned an awful lot about the love of God that I never understood before." Amen. And he says, "You keep doing what you're doing." And he says, "I'm going to tell my entire congregation to turn off all those other radio stations and turn it to 91.9 Strong Tower Radio." Amen. I was like, "Lord, you're kidding." Got another call. It's from a car dealership. "Well, Lord, what do you got going here, Lord?" He's talking to me about something. And he says, "George, I've been listening to the radio station." Praise the Lord. He says, "We probably sell 50, 60 cars a month." Wow, used car place. And he says, "Before they go out, every one of the push buttons on the radio is tuned to 91.9 Strong Tower Radio." Anthony, I like that. Man, Lord, you're working. You're working hard. I'm like, every day, I mean, it's so exciting to get up in the morning. I noticed in Sabbath school, where's our brother that was, is he babysitting here? The one that did the little thing at the end of Sabbath school, what's his name?
Marcus.
Marcus was up there talking about small groups and stuff like this. Listen to this story. This last fall, our pastor comes up to us and he says, "I want to put together a survey, real short one, take less than a minute to take." "Well, how many questions do you get?" "Five, just five." "What's it going to be about?" "It's going to be about the radio station." "Okay, what are you going to do?" "Well, we're going to go up there, knock on the door and say, 'Hi, my name's George. I'm from Strong Tower Radio. And the first question is, have you ever heard of Strong Tower Radio before?'" That's the first question. Check the box. "If they have, what are some of your present or your favorite programs?" Start underlining some of the things on there. We had four groups of two go out after Sabbath meal, okay, for 1 hour. Knocked on a lot of doors, talked to 36 people in 1 hour, the four groups did. Okay, you ready for this? The last question, the fifth question is, would you be interested in taking Bible studies? Anthony, we started 12 Bible studies in that 1 hour period. And you know what they said? They said, "We know it's a Seventh-day Adventist radio station, and I go to some of these other churches, but I trust Doug Batchelor, and I trust some of these other guys that are on there, and I want to know more. Can you teach me more?" Wow. I like that. What a way to be able to use the radio station as a bridge to the what? The church. As a bridge to the church. Well, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 33:3. My pastor, Jim Mitchell Sr., was the one that baptized me. I'm sure you guys have had him maybe speak here once or twice. That would be Brenda Walsh's dad, Linda Johnson's dad on 3ABN. "Call unto me and I will do what? Answer thee and show thee what? Great mighty things that thou knowest not." Well, answered the phone about 3 months ago. Guy says, "I see you guys are buying radio stations." And I said, "Well, a couple." He says, "What would you think about buying a mine?" Always interested in kicking the tires. He says, I got a radio station in Harrison. And I says, okay. He says, but I need to tell you something before I tell you these other things. He says, I was listening to your radio station the other day. And I'm thinking in my mind, Norman, you know about this. See, our radio station can't reach to Harrison. It's an impossibility. I'm telling you, it's impossible. Because there's other radio stations that are on the same frequency as us, and they're pushing up against our frequency, and it's keeping us away from Harrison. He says, George, he says, I'm telling you that I heard your radio station. 2 days. I says, how'd you hear our radio station? He says, I found out. He says, the station that's on the same frequency as you guys was down for maintenance purposes for 2 days. And I'm going, and you heard it. And he says, yeah, and I liked what I heard. And I'd like you guys to buy my radio station. And I says, well, what kind of a station do you have? He said, well, it's only a 100-watt station. And I'm thinking to myself, 100 watts would cover this neighborhood. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? It's a very small radio station. But he says this. He says, but you guys can bump the power up on it. And I said, really? He says, yeah, I'm thinking you guys could get 5 or 10,000 watts out of this really easily. He says, but I just have it as a hobby, and I've owned radio stations besides this, and he says, I've sold them all. And he says, this is my last one. And he says, I'd like you guys to buy it from me. I says, well, how much do you want for it? Now, it's not a tower. It's not anything. It's basically the piece of paper that I'm buying that says that he's got a radio station that we can purchase and then expand. Everybody follow me? How much do you want for that? $12,000. Well, how much money is in my pocket? Nothing. But my dad's got streets of gold up there in heaven. And the asphalt up there tells me that money to him isn't very much. You got problems with money? You ain't got no problems. The only problem you got, you're not down on your knees talking to God about the situation that you're in. Call upon me and I will do what? Do what? You ever stop and listen when you're praying? I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm blah, 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 and his ear is getting, you know, talked off. You ever stop and just listen? Call upon me and I will do what? Answer. Anybody ever stop to listen to the answer? I hung up and talked about it, and David did some engineering on it. Sure enough, we could expand it to Midland. Oh. See, all you thought this was about a story about radio stations in the UP and Cadillac. Nuh-uh. In Mount Pleasant. And in Clare. And in Gladwin. And in Beaverton. And in Houghton Lake. Do I have your attention now? Or do I have to go get the rat trap and start jiggling it again? I called him back up again, and I says, you know, I think we'd really be interested in it. You know, I'd like to come down and meet with you next week. But what's your bottom line price for it? And he thought for a second. He says, I'll tell you what, $10,000. I said, okay. David and I prayed. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I don't know where the money is coming from. I did have an appointment 2 days later with a family in Everett that's just outside the hearing of Strong Tower Radio in Cadillac that this station would reach. Went down there, showed them the maps and some of the other things. And the lady starts crying, and I thought, no, Lord. She says, George, she says, last week, she says, I got arthritis terrible. They're in their 80s. And then her husband starts crying. And she says, I was going to buy one of those walk-in tubs because I have such a hard time, you know, getting my legs up and some of the other things. And it's got jets and these other things. And they were going to come and put it in next week. She says, but we were praying, and the Lord said, I love you, and my grace is sufficient for you. Wow, I don't know if I'd listen to that. I'd have to stop and think and see if that was God myself, folks, because I don't know about you. Some people have arthritis real bad. My mom had arthritis terrible. It's hard stuff. A lot of us, somebody got arthritis in here? A couple people? Got some other owies here and there? Boy, those jets with that warm water, oh, that would make us feel so good. But my grace is sufficient for you. She gave me a check for $10,000. I was like, Lord, that's unbelievable. And then he was crying and she was crying and I was crying. Brother, can you help me? Can you maybe take this side and pass those out? And you got that, Anthony? Get this side. Hope we got enough. There's, I think, 60 or 70 of them there. The other day, I get another phone call. Set up an appointment with a gentleman down around the Cedar Lake area. And I go and see him, and never met him before. But he really had a heart for evangelism. And I shared with him what we were doing here. And he says, you know, Georgie says, what I'm going to do, I met him at his office, and he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to home talk to my wife about this. And he says, I'll give you a call later. And I thought, well, okay. I got home that night, and I was sitting talking to my wife, and we were talking about the day, and all of a sudden I get a phone call. And it was this guy. And he says, how much do you need for that radio station? And I says, well, the budget to build it is $62,000. Okay? Thank you, brother. You want to keep a couple extra? That's fine. I said, it's $62,000. And I said, after that, we need $3,000 a month to be able to run it. And he says, my wife and I have decided to give you guys $25,000. And I'm like, call into me, and he's going to do what?
Answer.
I'm just amazed. And then all of a sudden, checks start coming in for $10 and $25 and $50 and $5. And I have this lady call me up. She says, George, she says, I want you to come and see me. And I said, okay. And she says, when I get over there, she says, you know, I'm on Social Security. And she says, after I pay all of my bills for everything, I've got $60 left for groceries for the entire month. I'm not expecting her to give. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? I mean, in fact, if I would counsel her, I would say, $60 isn't much. And she says, I've been thinking about this. And she says, I want to sign up to be a monthly covenant partner with a radio station. And I'm saying, you can't afford to do that. And she says, the same verse. She says, God told her that my grace is sufficient for you and that he would provide all my needs. And Lord, all I'm doing is stepping out in faith that God will provide. I'm about bawling at that time. And I'm saying, well, I'm expecting that she's going to say, I'm going to give $2 or $5. She says, no. She says, I'm going to give $15 a month. And I'm like, I couldn't talk her out of it. Every time I see her, she smiles at me. She says, got to tell me a story. God, tell me a story. You see the map? You guys like the map?
Yeah.
Norman, you like that map? We're going to move where they have the antennas on the towers in Harrison to Gladwin, because that allowed us to come down a little bit farther toward the Tri-Cities and toward Midland, you know, places of population like that. And you can read the rest of it right there. Down to the bottom, three things. If you can't give, I just praise God. But you can give one thing, and that's your prayers each and every day. I want you to know right now that Strong Tower Radio is in a battle against the powers of darkness. Every day we're waging that battle. You can't imagine the things that happen of these roadblocks that get put into our way. But we keep praying, and God takes those roadblocks away. Did you know by the end of this year, Strong Tower Radio went from Cadillac reaching 125,000 people? We're expanding that to 25,000 watts, so we'll be able to reach 500,000 people with that. Down here, we'll be able to reach over 250,000 people. Up in the UP, we've got another radio station that'll be coming on in October. Between all four of them, we'll be able to reach almost 2 million people with the Three Angels messages. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think God's done? I don't think he is either. You know, one place that I'd love to have a radio station, that's in the Tri-Cities, in the Flint area. Boy, that's just ripe for the pickings. Folks, what's going to happen when all of a sudden that station gets on the air, Anthony, and people start calling you up and saying, you know, I'd like to get baptized? But I'm going to ask you guys a question. Are they going to stay in the church very long if you don't fellowship and disciple them? Isn't going to happen. See, the radio station is a tool to be able to plant seeds that when they come to fruition, we may not even see the results of this until we get to heaven. But I got a good feeling that we're going to see an awful big picture here. Now, I want to tell you something. This is unbelievable to me. I worked as a co-porter almost 7 years, an assistant publishing director. I worked as a Bible worker for 3 years. I worked as a listen worker in the health field in the schools for 18 years. I've been a lay pastor for a few years, almost 30 years of ministry. Now listen to this. For $1, what did I say?
$1.
If you give $1 each month, you can reach 78 people with the Three Angels messages. Did you guys hear that? $1 reaches 78 people. Huh? To me, right now, radio is the most inexpensive, most effective way to reach people with the gospel, and then to use it as a tool to be able to build off from your cooking classes and your evangelistic meetings, and if you got a Bible worker or if you got a school, there's things that we can do to be able to help. When the radio station started in Cadillac, we had 2 students in our school. We started bringing the kids in, and they started recording memory verses. And Anthony, they would quote 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, this is Jonathan from the Northview Seventh-day Adventist Church School in Cadillac. Well, we started playing those. You know, you got 15-second pieces of time here that you have to insert something in, and 10 seconds here, and a 20-second here. Started inserting those. School started getting phone calls. Tell us about your school. I didn't know that there was another private Christian school in Cadillac. Tell us what it costs to send our kids there. This year they had 18 students. Oh, how many of them are not Adventist? Ooh, boy, we got an evangelistic outreach right in our school now. VBS. I love VBS, but putting it all together and getting all the people, I mean, it's tough. What would you say if over 100 kids come to VBS? Oh, you better have some people to hold the fort down, because they're going to run you right over. But I'm just saying there's a lot of power there that you can use as a tool to be able to help your church to grow. One last thing. Shortly after we get on the air up there in Cadillac, I've got a Facebook account. And all of a sudden, this guy by the name of James asked me for a friend request. He says, I'd like to be your friend. I never know him. And I looked at his site, you know, his page there, and looked and see who his friends were. And I saw that I had a couple friends that were his friends too. And I said, okay. Boy, just minutes after that, he Facebooks me and get in the instant messenger, and he says, George! And I says, hi, James. And he says, I work midnights in a bakery here in Cadillac. And he says, I stumbled onto your station here a couple of weeks ago. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said, no. He says, I've been listening to Doug Batchelor. He says, I really like him. Do you like him? Yeah, he's a pretty likable guy. Wow, does he preach it straight? He was like right in my face on the radio all the time. And I said, well, there's probably a couple other ones. When you meet David Ashrick and some of these other guys, you might be a little bit more surprised than even Doug Batchelor. And he says, but I believe in the Sabbath. 2 weeks of listening? And the state of the dead and some of these other things, but I need some help because I don't quite understand everything. He says, can I take you to lunch? That's terrible. When people start calling you to come and share your faith with them. James started coming to church. He's not baptized yet. He started coming to church. Folks, I don't know what's going to be the result of this. But I know in my own heart that there's going to be, you know, you see that I saw in Revelation 144,000, and then I saw a number that no man can number. Think of the amount of people that we have the ability to be able to share God's love with before it's too late. And when is the opportunity? Right now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I can't help but think that 3 years ago, this church, was in the process of applying for a radio station to cover our area. We waited a long year and found out that we lost out. We appealed and we lost again, Lord. But then I read in Isaiah 53, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For all the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Things don't always go the way that we plan them, Lord, but it's encouraging to hear, it's encouraging to know that things always go the way that you want them. And we just ask that you would continue to bless the ministry of Strong Tower Radio as they expand. We're thrilled to hear the miracle stories of how you're using that work, and we ask that as they expand to the covering our area, Lord, that we'll experience some of these stories too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.